Welcome to All Saints Fordham and Atash Green. This is the podcast for Sunday the 17th of May, 2020. My name is Francis Blight and I'm pleased to welcome you to this worship service. During this time we will praise God and give thanks to Him. We'll pray together, listening to God's word and seeking the forgiveness of our sins. Today's preacher is the Reverend Paul Southern, who'll be speaking from John chapter 14 on living the if-centered life. I encourage you to have a Bible ready, a digital or paper copy. The Bible readings will be from the New International Version, the NIV UK. All the other content that you'll need to participate in today's worship is on pages 2 and 3 of the notice sheet. Alongside this podcast, our schools worker Ruth Reynolds has created a Sunday school video with accompanying printable resources. Ruth's doing a great job with these fun and engaging videos. You can access all the content through the church website. A word from Scripture to focus us on God as we begin. Acts chapter 17, verses 24 and 25. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by human hands. And he's not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, a gift from you. We want to focus our attention on you now. Please help us to put aside distractions so that we can praise you, pray to you, and listen to your voice in the Bible. We recognize that the world and everything in it belongs to you. You are the source of life. You don't need us to serve you because the whole world is yours. We thank you that this encourages us, that you're in charge, even during the global outbreak of the COVID-19 virus. Please sustain and strengthen us with fresh hope. We put our trust in you. You are the sovereign Lord. Amen. Our first song is, Where, O Grave, Is Your Victory? It's a hymn celebrating the power of Jesus' death and resurrection. The lyrics are printed in the service sheet.
Because he overcame the
Heavenly Father, we rejoice in your Son Jesus' victory over the grave. Thank you for the hope that he gives us in the face of death. Thank you for the future hope of a renewed world in your glorious presence, a world where death, plague, and pain will be no more than a story from history. Let's worship God together, celebrating Jesus' victory with the words from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, on page 2 of the service sheet. Death is swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your sting? Christ is risen from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Death is swallowed up in victory. The trumpet will sound, and the dead shall be raised. Where, O death, is your sting? We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. Death is swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your sting? We turn to confess our sins to God using the words on page 2. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Jesus is the way and the truth. No one comes to the Father except through him. So, a moment of quiet for you to consider any sinful thoughts, words, or actions that you need to bring to God. Let us confess our sins together. Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us, according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May the Father of all mercies cleanse us from our sins and restore us in his image to the praise and glory of his name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Today's collect prayer can be found on page 2. This week's collect is from the Church of England's Book of Common Prayer, published in 1662. It appears in a set of prayers for particular occasions near the beginning of the book. And this is a prayer for use in any time of common plague or sickness. Published 350 years ago, this prayer reminds us that the outbreak of a disease like COVID-19 is not a new experience for the human race. I'm encouraged that the Church of England has historic prayer resources for such a time as this. Now, normally we say the collect together, but I suggest that with this one, you listen to me praying and join in agreement with the Amen at the end. Let's pray. O Almighty God, who in your wrath sent a plague upon your own people in the wilderness for their obstinate rebellion against Moses and Aaron. And also in the time of King David sent a plague of pestilence, which killed 70,000, but remembering your mercy spared the rest. Have pity on us, miserable sinners, who now are visited with great sickness and mortality. And in the same way that you then accepted an atonement and commanded the destroying angel to cease from punishing, so it may now please you to withdraw from us this plague and grievous sickness, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Today's first Bible reading will be read by John Gage. It's from the book of Acts, chapter 17, starting at verse 22.
This reading is from Acts 17, verses 22 to 31. Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, "People of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.'" So you are very ignorant of the very thing that you worship, and this is what I am going to proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by human hands, and he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man he made all the nations, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by human design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's declare our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed on page 3. Christian people, do you believe and trust in God the Father? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe and trust in his Son, Jesus Christ? I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe and trust in the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Today's second Bible reading is from John's Gospel, chapter 14, starting at verse 15. Paul Davis is going to read it for us.
Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. And this is the word of our Lord.
Good morning, everyone. As we come to have a look at God's word together, let's have a word of prayer. There's an old hymn I like very much. Lord, thy word abideth, and our footsteps guideth. Who its truth believeth, light and joy receiveth. Father God, we pray that your word would be a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. There is a very small word that looms large at the moment. If. This deadly virus can be overcome if. And it's scary. The word if is literally central in the word life. And so today's if is central to our lives, the if-centered life. Those who are already followers of Jesus Christ and those who are thinking about it at this challenging time. How often the word if is followed by the word only, leading to regret and sometimes guilt. Here in this passage from John's Gospel that we're looking at today, the word if is possible and life-affirming with everything to gain. So you might like to have your Bible open at St. John's Gospel, chapter 14, and we're looking at verses 15 to 21, and I'm using the New International Version, although I have noticed that my very old version is slightly different from the more modern one, so I hope that's not a problem. In our passage today, John records Jesus' words of comfort to his disciples. This chapter 14 is part of what has come to be known as the Upper Room Discourses. This takes place at the Last Supper Jesus has with his disciples, before the events of his trial and execution. Jesus explains what is going to happen to him in chapter 13, Judas' betrayal and Peter's denial. We can only imagine how tense, fraught and sad the atmosphere must have been. At the beginning of chapter 14, in the light of all this, Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." Sometimes translated, "Set your hearts at ease." "Trust God the Father and trust me," Jesus said. And the disciples are to keep on trusting, even though they feared that everything around them was going to fall apart. Jesus sought to strengthen them. And we too need to keep trusting, especially in these uncertain days. And he longs to strengthen us too. My main point, I think, is this, is that we need the Holy Spirit to enable us to love and obey Jesus Christ. That's what's contained in these verses, 15 to 21. Francis last week took us to the first letter of John, the one who wrote this gospel, chapter 4 and verse 10. And this verse is vital to our understanding of loving Jesus. This is how it goes. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And so where love is concerned, God made the first move towards us. So then our response of loving flows from all that he has done and making it our own. Verse 15, Jesus said, "If you love me, you will obey what I command." Jesus is our pattern. He obeys his Father's commandments, all of them. And they remain the absolute and ultimate test of our love for Jesus. Loving obedience in regard to all he commands, nothing less. One commentator I read said, "Obedience is the test of love, and love is the content of obedience." I've always been a great admirer of Tony Benn, for me a giant of 20th century politics. Towards the end of his life, he published a book of letters to my grandchildren. I find them moving and inspiring, and I reread them often. They cover a wide range of aspects of life drawn from his own experiences and looking to the future. Of Jesus, he said, "Jesus the man interested me because of his teaching, and although the horrifying account of the crucifixion is the centerpiece of the New Testament, it was only part of the story, and not one on which I ever focused greatly." He went on, "Christianity helped to answer some of the mysteries of life and death and provided me with reassurance that there was someone who loved me, despite my faults." This is what I might call a chosen, restricted view of Jesus, but clearly not without value. Jesus as teacher and guide and even companion on life's road. But it would be like booking a seat in the theatre for a play or ballet, and even though you don't need to, you insist on booking a restricted view seat. At best, you would enjoy the bits you can see, but all the time wondering about what you are missing. I think the church has often colluded with this, suspecting that command and obedience sit uneasily with the so-called freedom of the 21st century church. But I ask you, why would you choose to have a restricted view of Jesus, when clearly Jesus longs for you to know him fully as your saviour? So his death on the cross being the only pathway to the at-one-ment with God that Francis was talking about last week. And Jesus' resurrection life can be ours too, and that for eternity. Now we all need help with this. So let's have a look at verses 16 and 17 from John chapter 14. Let me read them out to you. "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." The promise is that Jesus will ask his Father to send another counselor to be with us forever. One commentator sees this as a person summoned to one's aid, an advisor, a legal advocate, a mediator or an intercessor, someone to speak up for you. In his first letter, John, who wrote this gospel, speaks of the one who speaks to God the Father in our defence, another of the same Jesus, the Spirit of Truth. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the three persons of God. Firstly, God the Father, the Creator. Secondly, God the Son, the Saviour. And thirdly, God the Holy Spirit, who reveals both and brings Jesus the Saviour into our lives. The Holy Spirit has the marks of personhood. He thinks, Acts 15, verse 28. He speaks, Acts 1, verse 16. He leads, Romans 8 and verse 14. And as the great preacher and teacher R.T. Kendall said, he is very sensitive and can be grieved by the way we live. Ephesians 4 and verse 30. There are many aspects of the purpose and working of the Holy Spirit that are essential if you mean business with God the Father and God the Son. God the Holy Spirit is not an optional extra. Indeed, St. Paul told the Corinthians in his first letter, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Chapter 12 and verse 3. Just an exercise. Here are some vital aspects of the work of the Holy Spirit in the context of John 14. And I've come up with an acronym from the word truth. The Holy Spirit teaches. He teaches us to pray. Ephesians 6 and verse 18. The Holy Spirit renews us. Titus 3 and verse 5. The Holy Spirit unites us in witness. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. The Holy Spirit testifies that we belong to Jesus. Ephesians 1, verses 17 and 18. And the Holy Spirit helps us to live a different kind of life. Galatians 5, verses 16 and 17. We can see then that God is relationship between Father, Son and Holy Spirit, what has been called loving mutuality. And the coming alongside us and within us makes God known to us and therefore in relationship with us, a living day-by-day experience. Compare this to what we heard in our other Bible reading this morning from Acts chapter 17, from verse 22. St. Paul was in Athens and picked up on their religiosity and finding an altar with an inscription to an unknown God, verse 23. He tells them about a God we can know in his fullness. Paul knew him and they could know him too. Paul said, verse 30, for in him we live and move and have our being. You can't help notice that in a few verses, Paul proclaims God in his fullness and greatness as creator, sustainer, ruler, father, and judge. As he walks around Athens, Paul is both sad and angry with people. They're debating philosophers and their empty idols. He tells them that their man-made gods are works of ignorance, which God will no longer tolerate, and justice through the risen from death Jesus Christ is coming. They were offended, scornful and sneering. You might think not a hugely successful evangelistic day for Paul. You might think that, but verse 34 says, a few believed, and that's what mattered. Jesus said the world cannot accept him because it doesn't see who he is and doesn't know who he is. For Jesus was rejected and despised in the world. He was crucified by sinful men, rejected then by the world, and rejected now by the world. Now let's look at verses 18 to 21. and quite briefly these verses. Let me read them to you. Jesus said, I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. Before long the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Verse 18 tells us, with Jesus, you won't be having to face the world like an orphan, alone. I can recall, as though it were yesterday, the year 2004. My mother had died in the August of that year, and my father died 3 months later. Even though they were both in their late 80s, I felt suddenly and desperately alone, despite having a family of my own who loved me. So if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, in love and obedience, you are never alone, even though at times you might well feel alone for all that life throws at us. When Jesus predicted Peter's denial, he called his disciples my children, chapter 13 and verse 33. So we have Jesus, the loving, caring and constant parent. I really like that. And verse 19, the world will not see me, Jesus said, but you will. Because I live, you will live. Jesus met with his followers after he had risen from death. He gave them comfort, assurance and peace. Verse 20 gives us a picture of the dynamic of the relationship we can have with God. Jesus said to his disciples, I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. The resident Holy Spirit of God in your life constantly bears witness to this. And verse 21 picks up where we started, with the affirmation that whoever has and obeys Jesus' commands, he is the one who loves me. So then the if of our loving obedience is the key. God our Father loves us as we love his Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus loves us and reveals himself to us. No restricted view in his revelation to us. The full-on biblical Jesus. So let's be sure not to choose a restrictive view of him. As I finish, this outpouring of loving obedience to Jesus is an act of the will, but also should engage our emotions at the deepest level. Think of those precious relationships we have here on earth. Who amongst us has not wept tears of joy and tears of deep sadness with them over the years? It's what it is to be human. I really love the song Overwhelmed by Love, deeper than oceans, high as the heavens. That's how Jesus overwhelms me with his love. Would that I could overwhelm Jesus with my love for him. Jesus simply wants me to show and prove my love for him by obeying his commandments, all of them. And he gives me help with this day by day, because his Holy Spirit lives within me. So we will pause for a moment, and then we will sing this lovely song together, Overwhelmed by Love.
Overwhelmed.
Ruth Miles is going to lead us in prayer.
Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning in the knowledge that you are the living and eternal God, the one who cares for us all. We come before you with humble, thankful hearts as we praise and worship you together this morning. Father, we are mindful of the needs in our world, with so many countries affected by the coronavirus. We remember those countries who have little in the way of resources to fight the virus. Lord, we want to bring before you the families in Kabul in Afghanistan who have so tragically lost loved ones in the recent killings at the maternity hospital and at the funeral this last week. Pray that you would bring them comfort. We would also pray for the families of the 17 of our Nigerian brothers and sisters who lost their lives a few days ago in Kaduna State, killed by the Fulani militants. We pray for justice and a calming of this situation. May these families know your peace and presence with them. Be with Sandy and Kirsten Russell and their family. For Sandy, as he continues his sabbatical, that you will give him opportunity to rest and think through the plans for the future. For Kirsten, in her contacts with friends and family, both here and in Kurdistan. We pray for Cameron's health and as he continues his studies at home. Be with Vi in her flat in Cairo as she works as a volunteer for the World Health Organization. We pray that we, as we begin the gradual easing of the lockdown, you will help us to be wise and thoughtful to others. Lord, we pray for those who have lost family members to this virus, that you would be present with them in their grief and as they mourn. We ask that you will bring comfort and your peace to them. We ask that you will give wisdom and knowledge to all medical researchers worldwide as they seek to find and produce a suitable vaccine, that they may have clear understanding of what they are dealing with. We thank you for the recent results of antibody testing. We are thankful, Lord, for the NHS, social carers, and all essential workers. We pray for their protection as they continue to serve us all. We thank you for the young people in our fellowship and ask that you will be with them as they continue to learn from home and that you would sustain them in their learning. We pray for those who we know that have particular need of our prayers today. Be with Daphne Harvey's family at this time as they mourn her loss. We thank you, Father, for Daphne's long life. We remember Christopher and Marlies Barnett at this difficult time. Please be with Sharon Whitaker in the concerns for her family's health. We ask for your healing hand to be upon them and that your will be done in each of their lives. Give Sharon your comfort and strength, we pray. Please bring hope to all who are struggling and finding these times very hard to cope with. May they look to you to be their strength. May they find real joy and comfort in reading your word and be upheld and encouraged by it. We thank you for all the practical help that our church family members so graciously offer our community. We ask that you keep them safe and well. Be with all who are praying for family members to come to know you as their personal Saviour and Lord. Draw near to them, we ask, gracious and merciful Father, that they will cry out to you and be saved for all eternity. We ask all these prayers in the name of Jesus and for his glory. Amen.
We finish our prayers by saying together the Lord's Prayer on page 2. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Some notices as we come towards the end of this service. Christianity Explored begins this Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. This will be an online course run on Zoom. If you have questions about Christianity, we would love you to join us. The course helps you to explore the life and teaching of the person at the heart of the Christian faith, Jesus Christ. And because of the current pandemic, we are adding an extra week for the first, an extra session for the first week entitled Where is God in a Coronavirus World? To participate, you need to register on Eventbrite. Full details can be found on the church website. Growth group leaders are meeting this evening, 6 p.m. via Zoom. And in today's service sheet, please see notices about a number of things supporting the Colchester Food Bank, the Church Benevolent Fund, how we can participate in the appointment of a new bishop for our diocese, and how to contact the church care team if you are in need. Next Sunday's podcast service will focus on the interesting subject of Jesus' ascension. This event in Jesus' life is often overlooked in our theology. I'll be preaching with the title, What is the Meaning of Jesus' Ascension to Heaven? Each Sunday after the podcast service, we have a Zoom coffee time from 11:30 a.m. Sadly, you have to make your own drink, but I have found it really encouraging to catch up with others in the church each week. About 40 people gathered on Zoom last Sunday. Linda sent the link and password out with the service sheet last Friday. We finish with a final prayer and the blessing. Heavenly Father, please fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit today. Empower us to follow Jesus, serving his purposes during this strange season. May the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, may he make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.